Right then. So I'd just like to apologise now because I'm not a very good public speaker. So just bear with me. So what I'm going to talk about today is the six C's of nursing and how we can bring them into our Christian life. So just a little bit of background. So recently I had a job interview and God gave me this preach whilst I was getting ready, preparing myself for this interview. So I was thinking in my head over and over again what the six C's of nursing are, trying to remember them so that I could say them in my interview. And, you know, they're the six things that make a great nurse. And it was when I was saying these things that I realised, oh, actually, these six C's would make a good Christian as well. So just a bit of background. I'm sure you all read about it in the newspaper or heard about it on the news about the failings highlighted at Mid Staffordshire Hospital. So the six C's were launched in 2012 following that. So the thought was that nurses who based their approach using this criteria would attain a level of profound and virtuous care that would form the basis of what a professional nurse should be. So can anyone guess what the six C's of nursing are?
Care.
Yes, care.
Compassion.
Pardon?
Communication.
Yes, communication.
Clothing.
No. Becky mentioned one when she was praying for me. Commitment.
Cleanliness.
Right. So they are care, compassion, competence, communication, courage, and commitment. So as I was reciting the six C's, I realised that I was describing Jesus. Jesus was caring, compassionate, competent, a good communicator, courageous, and committed. It made me think about all the things Jesus did during his life here on earth and how we should apply in the six C's, how I should be applying the six C's, not only to my nursing career, but also to my Christian life. So I'm going to start with care. As you can see in this picture, it's right at the centre. I think care is the heart of nursing. So care, like I said, is at the heart of the six C's. I feel it's the most fundamental part of being a nurse. Caring isn't just about being nice to people. It's about being there for them in their time of need. You know, it's easy to care for the lovely and sweet patients, the ones that appreciate us, but it's not just about that. We can't pick and choose who we care for. We also have to care for the patients that aren't so nice. So whilst working in A&E, I would regularly get sworn at, called various names, and on a few occasions have nearly been assaulted, but I still had to care for those patients. It's important to remember that these patients are vulnerable, and I have a duty of care towards them, making sure that they receive the treatment they require. I also have to promote care, that putting patients right at the centre of everything I do, involving them in all decisions about their care, making sure they understand all the different treatments so that they can make informed choices. It's not just about caring for the patient, it's about caring for the relatives as well, making sure that they understand the care their loved one is receiving. You know, when breaking bad news, that's a really hard thing to do, but we have to make sure that we're there for the relatives as well, making sure that they're safe. So I was thinking about how I can relate care to my Christian walk. You know, it's easy to care for all of you guys here because we're like one big family and we love each other, but, you know, we've got to care for everyone. You know, Jesus cared for everyone, no matter what they did, whether they were sinners or murderers, he cared for everyone. And I've just got a few scriptures here. Luke 22:49-51. And when those who were around him saw what would follow, they said, "Lord, shall we strike with a sword?" And one of them struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus said, "No more of this." And he touched his ear and healed him. So this was Jesus' last miracle he performed. And it really really made me think, you know, this man was trying to arrest him and take him away to his death, but Jesus showed great kindness and care by healing him. And then thinking about us caring for each other, Matthew 7:16, "You will recognise them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles?" So it's about we must care for everyone, all our fellow people, all non-believers, so that God's glory will shine through us. So leading on to compassion, care and compassion are quite closely linked. I think you can't really have one without the other. But compassion in nursing is how care is given. So, you know, we have to care with compassion through relationships. We have to provide, you know, respect our patients. We have to respect their dignity. It's central to how people perceive their care. And as nurses, we have to treat everyone in our care with dignity and humanity, making sure that we understand their individual needs. We need to show compassion, sensitivity, and provide care that respects everyone equally. Mrs. P, I was going to say this anyway, but I think it fits in quite nicely with what she shared this morning. You know, or a couple of weeks ago, she shared that testimony about the lady on level 5 and how she cared with compassion to someone a lot of people would regard as a nuisance to society, but she showed compassion and she gave us some money. And then obviously she shared today about how she's putting this bag together, and I just think that's amazing. That's just such compassion. You know, Jesus was compassionate. Everything he did with compassion. Recently, I've started my new job as the alcohol nurse specialist, and I've had quite a few negative comments from people about this job, but, you know, people tend to view people who are alcohol dependent as sometimes as quite challenging or a nuisance, but actually these people, you know, they need a lot of care and compassion. Often they're at rock bottom in the most desolate of places, and actually having the opportunity to sit down and speak with them and showing them that actually there is a way out and showing them, like, signposting them to all the different services out there. You know, I've really enjoyed this job. It's been amazing. And I just feel like, well, as I shared a few weeks ago about how God gave me this job, you know, I think he's put me in this place for a reason, so that I can be compassionate. So Jesus was compassionate. Everything he did with compassion. And then I've just got a few Bible verses here. So Luke 7:13, when the Lord saw her, he felt compassion for her and said to her, "Do not weep." Matthew 9:36, seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. Matthew 14:14, when he went ashore, he saw a large crowd and felt compassion for them and healed their sick. Matthew 20:34, moved with compassion, Jesus touched their eyes and immediately they regained their sight and followed him. Mark 8:2-3, I feel compassion for the people because they have remained with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way, and some of them have come from a great distance. So moving on to competence. So competence means... So nurses, basically, we have to have an ability to understand the health and social needs of our patients, you know, making sure that I'm competent in the skills that I need to provide, you know, I'm up to date with training, all my clinical skills are up to scratch. I have to continuously make sure that I know what's the latest research, that I'm providing the best practices. So it's making sure that I'm competent at any task I'm going to perform, ensuring that all my research is evidence-based and that I'm a competent nurse, because people's lives are at stake and I have a personal responsibility to deliver the best possible care. So I've just got this little picture here. So all of you that have been to university will know what I'm talking about, but I was just thinking about when I was a student nurse and when I would write an essay, you couldn't just write a sentence without having a reference to back it up. So every other sentence basically had a reference, whether it was from a journal or a textbook. Even if I knew what I was saying to be true, like washing your hands reduces the risk of infection, you know, you couldn't just write that without having evidence to back it up. And I was thinking about this in our Christian life and how that although we know God is real and what we have to say is true, we should have evidence to back up what we're saying. And to make it more powerful, you know, we need to have Bible verses to give what we're saying more power to back up what we're saying. The Bible is our textbook. So like being a nurse, where I have to make sure I'm up to date with training and new best practices to deliver the best possible care, I have to, as a Christian, because obviously that people's lives are at stake with nursing, but as a Christian, we're talking about eternal matters, so there's a lot more at stake here. None of you would want your relatives or yourselves to be looked after by an incompetent nurse. So the same goes for incompetent Christians. How are we supposed to save people if we're incompetent? So this has really challenged me recently, because if I'm honest, I'm quite bad at remembering Bible verses. But this September, I started reading the Bible in a year. And just from these few months, I've really learnt lots of verses, and I've read things that, you know, I didn't really even realise were in the Bible, and they've really stood out to me, and I've been highlighting them, and most of them I've used in this preach actually, which is really good. But and then recently I've had like a really in-depth conversation with one of my non-Christian friends, And I was able to, like, well, whilst I was talking to him, give him verses that I had read, and I felt that it was giving more power to what I had to say. You know, I wasn't just saying this and this. I had, like, something to say all, because the Bible says this, you know. It made more power in what I was saying. And I feel that I definitely had an impact on him. And just taking the time to sit down and write this preach has made me feel more competent in my abilities. And I'm actually quite proud of myself for doing this. So just to think, are you a competent Christian? And then moving on to communication. So back to nursing, communication is central to successful caring relationships and essential to working as part of a team. You know, as a nurse, I have to listen. You know, listening is just as important as what we say or do. Nurses are at the heart of the communication process. We have to record, report all the treatment that the patient receives. We have to handle all their information sensitively and confidentially. It's a lot of customer relations. You know, we get a lot of complaints. We have to deal with them effectively and smoothly, making sure that, you know, all through the process that they're happy. You know, I have to continuously communicate with my patients throughout their journey, making sure that every step of the way they know what's happening, because often they're really scared. And if you take the time to sit down and communicate with them and they know what's happening, it just puts them at ease. So communication is such an important thing. Jesus was a great communicator. He preached to whoever would listen, spreading the word of God so that everyone had the chance to listen and make the decision to follow him. At the beginning of the year, me and Becky went to Africa together, and we read Purpose Driven Life. And the one part which really stood out to me was about our mission as Christians. So if I just read it to you now. You may be unaware that God holds you responsible for the unbelievers who live around you. The Bible says in Ezekiel 3:18, you must warn them so they may live. If you don't speak out to warn the wicked to stop their evil ways, they will die in their sin. But I will hold you responsible for their death. You are the only Christian some people will ever know. Your mission is to share Jesus with them. So God gave us tongues for a reason, so we can communicate with one another. We need to use our tongues to communicate God's words to everyone. We have a personal responsibility to spread the word of God to everyone. Exodus 4:10 to 12 says, Moses said to the Lord, pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. The Lord said to him, who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? It is not I, the Lord. Now go. I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. So basically, we need to just open our mouths and communicate, and God will help us do it. We have to take the time to communicate, to build trust. Communication is a two-way process. We need to have to listen as well as speak. As I mentioned just now, I recently had a really in-depth conversation with one of my friends who's not a Christian. So a lot of that conversation was taking the time to listen to what he had to say, you know, all his preconceptions about Christians, the things that he struggled with and what he was thinking. You know, I had to allow him to say all of these things so that I could then communicate what I thought on them. It wasn't just me preaching at him and telling him this is what I believe, rah, rah, rah. You know, I had to take the time to listen to him as well. Then moving on to courage. So you might wonder why nurses need to be courageous. Well, as nurses, we're the patient's advocate. We have a duty to stand up for them and to challenge doctors if we're concerned about the care they're receiving. You know, if we think, oh, that's not right, we have to challenge them, and that can be quite difficult. It's also about whistleblowing for the safety of the patient. If we've witnessed something that's not right, you know, we have to report that for the sake of our patients. In situations where things have gone wrong, we have to stand up and admit that we've made a mistake. This takes courage. For example, last year I made a drug error. Luckily for me, it was quite a minor drug error, but I had to go and tell the patient what I had done. I had to admit, look, I've done this. And luckily for me, she took it quite well. But I think it was because I was telling her what I had done. I was admitting to it. But that takes a lot of courage because, you know, in those situations, they could quite rightly get quite angry with you. But, you know, you have to be courageous. You have to admit when you've made a mistake. It's also about having the courage to make changes. As I mentioned earlier, there's always new research coming out and we have to embrace it. We have to embrace different ideas and we have to step out of our comfort zone and take risks. As a Christian, I believe courage is all about stepping out of our comfort zones and taking risks, because as we step out in faith for God, our faith becomes stronger and so does our relationship with Jesus, because we have to lean on him for strength and courage. For me recently, this has been a big aspect of my Christian life. Just standing up here and delivering this preach has taken great courage. Basically, we need to step out of our comfort zones, and I'm just going to tell you a quick testimony. I mentioned it before about my friend that I prayed for. So she was really struggling with her new job. She was feeling quite bullied by her manager and was really upset and was to the point that she felt she wanted to quit. Sharing my faith with my non-Christian friends is something I've always struggled with. It's not because I'm ashamed of being a Christian. I think it's more about I'm worried about what they'll think of me, and I think especially when you're offering prayer, it is quite a difficult thing to do. But I really felt that I had to pray for her and I had to tell her. So I said to her, I'm going to pray for you. So over that weekend, I prayed that God would soften the heart of her manager, that my friend would go in and it would be completely different, that she would have a really good day. Later on in that week, I met up with my friend and we went for coffee after work, and she actually used the word miracle. She's like, it's actually a bit scary, but she's really being quite nice to me. I told my friend, I said, I believe God has answered my prayers. He's because he wants you to know that he loves you and he cares for you and he wants a relationship with you. Obviously, this was quite a big thing for me to do, because, you know, she doesn't believe in God at all and she could think I was being a bit crazy and weird, and you don't want to like ruin your relationship with your friends. But, you know, I could have secretly prayed for her and not ever told her, but then there would have been no glory in that. And I'm not saying that God wouldn't have made the situation better for her, but then she would never have known that it was God that did that. And also, when I've been reading Robbie Dawkins' book, and something that I really liked was what he said. God's gift to us is ability. Our gift to God is availability. He says to us, you go first, you be available and step out, and I will empower you in the moment. And then commitment. As nurses, we have to be committed to our patients and their relatives. We have to be committed to our job and committed to delivering high quality care. It's also about being committed to one another as part of the team. For example, we've had a lot of new nurses start recently, and I have to make sure that they know where everything is, that they feel supported, and that if they don't know what to do, they can come and ask for help. Because if we work together and we're committed to one another, then we can provide the best care to our patients. And also, if I wasn't committed, if I didn't care about my patients, this could be detrimental to their health. For example, if someone comes in with sepsis, I'm not going to bore you about what we do, but it's a type of infection and we have to do various things within an hour. If I didn't care about that, then I just thought, I'm not bothered, and didn't do it within the hour, that would put their lives at risk. So it's really important that as nurses, we are committed to our patients and committed to our job. Jesus showed commitment not only to his Father, but to the world. Jesus' commitment to his Father was that of obedience. He obeyed his heavenly Father. Jesus did the will of his Father. John 8:29. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. John 10:17-18. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. Jesus didn't just sacrifice his time and energy. He gave his life's blood. He gave his whole being for the sake of mankind. He gave up his spirit to save the world. 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus became sin on the cross for us and for the world. He suffered the penalty of sin for the whole world. He suffered separation from the Father and the torment of the separation for all mankind. That's how committed Jesus is to the world. 1 John 2:1. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defence, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. 1 Timothy 2:5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus, Christ Jesus. So Jesus is fully committed to us, even though we're not always fully committed to him. He not only became a sacrifice for our sins, but he stands in heaven as our mediator. He's our lawyer pleading our case between the Father whenever we fail or sin. That's how committed he is to us. Philippians 2:8. In being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. So we need to make sure that we stay committed to God, even in the hard times as well as the good. I think this kind of came out this morning in the worship, which is really nice. So, you know, it's easy to praise God when things are going well for us. You know, it's easy to thank him then, but what about when things aren't going so well? You know, we need to make sure that actually we're still praising him then, because then we'll come out on the other side stronger in faith. About a year ago, I felt that my faith was tested, and I think that I failed that test. You know, I felt angry at God. I didn't want to come to church, I didn't want to go to home group, and I was really, really quite angry. But I've come to realise that, you know, we live in a bad world and bad things are going to happen to us, and we need to be prepared for when they do. It's easy, like I said before, it's easy to love God and thank him when things are going well, but, you know, we need to make sure we're doing it when things aren't going so well. If we think about the parable of the sower, we need to make sure that we are the seed that fell on the good soil, that stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by preserving produce a crop. Not the seed that fell on rocky ground, that believe for a while, but in times of testing they fall away. Just recently I had this feeling that I was up for a test again. All the scriptures I was reading, I'd also watched a few Christian DVDs, and they all had the same message: rely on God through the bad times. Someone had also given me a picture indicating I was up against tough waters. This all kind of came to me when Nathan was away with the army, so I couldn't tell him how I was feeling. But one evening I went round to dinner with Pete and Helen, and after dinner Helen asked me, "Oh, how are you feeling?" And it all came out, and I told her how I was feeling. And Helen sat there and she prayed with me, and she also gave me Psalm 91. A couple of weeks later, something did happen, and it was something quite traumatic that, you know, if I hadn't been prepared and I hadn't been ready, I think I would have handled it really bad. But because I had been praying, I'd been reading Psalm 91 every morning, I felt prepared, and actually I think I handled the situation really well. I trusted in God and I knew that he would bring me through the other side. So it's not just about being committed to God, it's about being committed to one another. Helen is a prime example of how she was committed to me. She was praying for me throughout the situation, and she helped me massively, and I don't think I would have dealt with it the same if she hadn't been there for me. So thank you, Helen. And then, summary, I've gone through that a lot quicker than I thought I would. This morning I practiced it, took ages. So in summary, care. We must go out of our way to be caring and kind to everyone. Compassion. We must be compassionate to others so that they will know we are God's people. Competence. We need to be competent Christians so that we can spread God's word effectively. Communication. We need to communicate our faith to non-believers. It's our life's mission. Courage. We have to step out of our comfort zone, taking leaps of faith. Commitment. We need to stay committed to God throughout the tough times as well as the good, and stay committed to one another. That's it.